Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo!
As we count down to the United States and Iran. Just a couple hours from now, the United States 40-point favorites. Will they win? Will they all want to beat up Greg Popovich after the game if they lose? It is a big, big night here on the show with live big-time Olympics that everybody cares about going on throughout the night tonight. It is a big, big night for us, Mike Harmon.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Action all the way through the night. I'm still recovering from, staying up and watching soccer because I'm a dope. Instead of hitting a record button and waiting. And then Smith, staying up past 3 a.m. to see a 0-0 draw.
Yes, there you go. I was going to say, how many goals did you see in that game, Mike Harmon? I saw zero.
I saw one taken off the board on a dubious offsides goal. But beyond that, wow, what did I just do? Needless to say, a little extra octane coffee going on and ready for a big Tuesday night.
And I'll tell you, listen, just in right now with the Olympics, Katie Ledecky did not medal. She finished fifth in the 200 freestyle. Once again, Ariana Titmus, the Terminator, takes her second gold medal, beating Katie Ledecky. This time Ledecky finishes outside of the medal count. And look, before we get into Simone Biles, you know, the Olympics is fun. It's been great. I mean, we're just starting out. It has been a disaster for the United States so far. All the big high-profile athletes have been upset. They're not winning. Katie Ledecky not winning. USA softball loses a gold medal game. Simone Biles withdraws and now is the biggest story in the world. The women's national team in soccer won 1-1 in pool play. The men's basketball team may not win again. I mean, it has been an absolute disaster for all the high-profile athletes coming into the games. Look, and you go out with Sha'Carri Richardson, who wasn't going to compete at all because of the positive marijuana test. And of all the big athletes, hey, tune in and watch Naomi Osaka, everything else. It has been an absolute disaster because it's not like we're not winning medals because we're winning, but all the stars, hey, get to the TV, stream. Katie Ledecky, now she's lost twice. And now we're not seeing any of the favorites who should be winning playing well at all. And it's kind of embarrassing. You know, the only question is this a blip or is this the new normal, right? Because is the Olympics kind of a metaphor for a larger image of the United States losing its world standing, right? Because the past few years, we've seen other countries pass us in technology, environmentally, economically, but now athletically is when people stand up and go, whoa, we're not winning gold medals. What is going on here? This is what's going to gain everybody's attention. Oh, you know, China's passing us. They're passing us the technology. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, environmentally, yeah, whatever. They'll figure stuff out up in Norway. Wait. We're losing to other teams in basketball and soccer and the swim. Wait. What's happening here? I don't know. It kind of feels like this has been where the United States has been going. The past, other countries have been surpassing us, but now that it's happening in athletics, everybody's standing up and going, wait a minute, why is this happening? What's wrong with the United States? We got to fix this.
Well, what's the one thing that unites us all? Sports. Right? There are USA Olympians. That's why this Simone Biles has become such a hot button issue, because it's not just about wins, losses, and medals. It's you're representing all of us, and look what happens. So, you know, it's that level of fandom and ownership that you have on a regional basis, on a market-to-market basis, taken out to the national side. Because all the things you marked in terms of things being ticked off and passed. And we can go through the world rankings on all of those another time, podcast that will never be done. But you can go through and talk about those being really divisive issues, right? You're not going to get people on the same page for environmental concerns necessarily, especially when there are billions upon billions of dollars at stake, and just keep on going on down the line. Now, when it comes to getting some chunks of metal and hearing the national anthem and celebrating that, now everybody's on board. Everybody wants to see that. And right now, the medal count is still United States in the league. China second at 23, Japan, the host country, at 19. The one that I think has everybody just kind of circling and going, how does this make sense, is the collection of Russian athletes that are there unofficially, not with a, you know, an actual nation, but as this collection of athletes. They're fourth right now with seven golds, seven silvers, and four bronze. So there's just a lot of hand raising going, all right, how does this all make sense in terms of still being eligible to be here? But that's, you know, a philosophical debate for another time. To your point, we still have another couple of weeks. We still have a lot of big events to come. And the U.S., even though I didn't get any sleep and they didn't score any goals, they're into the medal round. So there's still potential greatness ahead.
We're 1-1-1. What does that mean? We were average, but we moved on.
We moved on. Hey, succeed and proceed, buddy. It doesn't have to be pretty, because I don't know if you went back and watched the match. For those that didn't, it wasn't a strong showing in any way, shape, or form.
No, they decided we're going to put 11 people in the box and we're not going to allow a goal, because if we don't allow a goal, we move on. This is what we're going to do. Oh, it's very, very frustrating. It's probably good that a lot of these events are on delay or on streaming, where it's like, oh, I've missed all the bad things. I've missed all the time.
You can check the result and go back and say, will I be excited to watch this or not? All right, hit play. If not, bring me the latest episode of whatever I'm binge watching.
But clearly the story of the day is Simone Biles. And boy, is this just an inflammatory topic that everywhere you go, you find temperatures get to 100 on this right away. Now, obviously, Simone Biles, what you probably woke up to reading about earlier in the day, Simone Biles pulls out of the gymnastics team final. The greatest gymnast of all time pulls out after a bad vault, which she had lost her confidence afterwards and said she couldn't go on. She couldn't continue. She pulls out. They wind up trying to figure it out without her. They wind up with the silver medal. The Russian Olympic team winds up winning first. Here's Simone Biles following the event, talking about why she pulled out, what happened, why she stopped competing. And then we'll take a deep dive into stuff I guarantee takes you haven't heard all day on this. Let's hear from Simone Biles.
I've just never felt like this going into a competition before, and I tried to go out here and have fun and warm up in the back went a little bit better, but then once I came out here, I was like, no, mental is not there, so I just need to let the girls do it and focus on myself. No injury, thankfully, and that's why I took a step back, because I didn't want to do something silly out there and get injured, so I thought it was best if these girls took over and did the rest of the job, which they absolutely did. They're Olympic silver medalists now, and they should be really proud of themselves for how well they did last minute having to go in.
So there's Simone Biles in her post-match presser earlier today. And the first thing, that there's a lot of shocking things with this, because when I saw this, when I woke up, I said, you got to be kidding me. You have to, and I was, and not a lot shocks me. Look, you and I have been doing sports, be doing this for a long time. Not a lot shocks me, but Simone Biles, she walks around with a goat emblem on her leotard. Okay, yeah. The greatest gymnast of all time couldn't do it mentally. She wasn't there after she had a bad vault. And she talked about how the pressures of the past week have gotten to her. Now, first things first, because there's a lot of different ways to get with this. There's a lot of surprising things. But her pulling out after that is not surprising. And if you think about it a little bit deeper, you understand that stuff like this happens in sports all the time, right? All the time we see this happen. You see it in the NBA Finals when Devin Booker can't stop fouling people. And so Monty Williams has to say, dude, you have to sit down for 5 minutes because you're insane right now. And what happens? He sits down, he collects himself, and goes back in the game. This happens everywhere where players mentally are out of it for whatever reason. So what happens is they sit down for a few minutes. In the NFL, they come out of the game. In the NBA, they come out of the game. It happens that way. That's how it goes. You ready to go back in? Ready to go back in. I say Devin Booker because we just watched him be someone who couldn't control his emotions in the NBA Finals, and he was the biggest example of it. This happens all the time. Now, this happened today, and yeah, okay, does it suck that it happened in the Olympics, what she's been training her whole life for, continuing on, and other people have? Yeah, it sucked, but it happened. It was the right decision for her to pull out and for the coaches to go with other people, because if you're not mentally there, you're not going to help the team. And if she wasn't there mentally after her bad vault and didn't feel, what for whatever reason, she didn't have it there, that was the right call, because she's not going to help the team going out there, just like Devin Booker's not going to help the team going out there fouling players. Anybody who is not mentally in the game needs to come out and needs some time to get back in. The way gymnastics is, okay, well, it's time for you to go. I need to sit for 10 minutes. Well, we're not going to sit and wait for you. Somebody else has to take your place, and that's exactly what happened. So this part of it was not surprising. I'm mentally not there. I can't do it. Because if she went out there after, if she look, the vault is one of her strongest things, and she had a bad time in the air and landing, what was she going to do? I mean, she had the lowest score on the vault. She's going to go out there again, and that would pull the team down entirely. They made the right call going away, and she made the right call saying, I can't do it. It's shocking and it's stunning, because she's the, you never think of someone like Tom Brady saying, hey, I need some time. I got to come out of the game here. You don't, but this is how it works in sports. We just saw it work with Booker and other players. You see it all the time. This part of it was not shocking. Once it was, I can't do it, I'm mentally not there, sit down. You know, at every level of sports, it's you're not into it right now. You got to sit down. Whether it is the Olympics, whether you're coaching a U-12 soccer game and one of the girls just isn't into it because she had a sleepover at her friend's last night and so she's not running. You know what? You're going to sit for a few minutes. I mean, this is not the shocking part. This is the right call to make. USA still almost pulled it off. I completely get it. This part is not shocking.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack as we go throughout the night. So I've got notes all over. I thought about this in a million different ways and really did my best to stay away from the cesspool that is social media as this started to spawn over the course of the day. One of the things, as you mentioned, hers was the low score, dragging them down. Here was an opportunity for a coach to just say, you know what? I could see she wasn't there. Like, could have gotten a huge win here because that strategy ended up getting them a silver medal by her stepping out, right? If she'd gone and replicated her first effort, they would have probably not medaled. So from just a strategic standpoint and for claiming the piece of metal for this particular event, it was helpful. But, yeah, it's really just that larger discussion of tapping out for a moment, knowing there's still time left to come back in and make your mark. And for her, there's still all the individual events versus this point in time as a team sport. And I think that's where a lot of the rage and examples and everything started to flow, right? You used the Devin Booker because we talked about that a lot in the finals, where if his shot wasn't falling, then he got called for a ticky-tack foul because he thought he got should have gotten one on the other end. What did he do? He got that, you know, eye of the, you know, burning sensation in his eyes, like got flaming red, and he was going to hit whoever came into the lane next against him kind of thing. It's like, all right, you're not helping us. Now you're just picking up fouls, and this is going to come back to bite us. So you can buy a few minutes there. With this, you can't. So it's an in-the-moment decision that has such huge, huge ramifications, and I know I've probably seen the embroidered goat every fifth post since I sat down in this chair 45 minutes ago. It's like, wow, this is really, people are really mad.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a hug. I've got some other explanations. You referenced, you know, coaching 12-year-old girls. I got a bigger point to make with that. Academics, bring my house into it and try to make it a little more digestible for folks than Olympic athletes. Because I think maybe the largesse of that is getting people a little out of their element, out of their sorts. And I'm not talking about those that are fat shaming radio hosts and TV hosts and whatever else. You guys weren't Olympians either, so shut up. And if you were in a little bit better shape, or depending on what your career was, that's all fine and good. But dismissing people's opinions when it comes to handling stress and navigating their lives is also a disingenuous, dangerous way for us to go about discussing this topic as well. Should be inclusive, should be a larger focus and reminder that we need to make an avenue for this to become part of your training as you're growing up, as you're producing great performances, etc. For today, stunning, but they got a silver medal, and really, you at the end of the day, all you're hoping is she's okay and will continue. It takes nothing away from any of the past accomplishments, as many would like to, you know, change her Wikipedia page and suddenly erase everything.
Yeah, look, she didn't win, right? She didn't win, and it's shocking, and it's hard to digest just because she's a great athlete. Look, what have I said over the course of the past couple of months? The two athletes dominating their sports more than anybody else are Jacob DeGrom and Simone Biles, right?
Look,
we've said that a bunch of times. Nobody has been more dominant in their sports than DeGrom and Simone Biles. And to see this, wait a minute, you're withdrawing in the Olympics, you're doing this? It's a shocking thing. But when you think of how this was handled from a sports perspective, yeah, we see this. You know, if a great defensive back commits back-to-back pass interference penalties and screaming at the referee, what happens? He comes out and sits out the rest of that drive. Why? Because mentally you're not in the game. Come out and sit down. Come out and sit down and be ready to go next time, because you got to clear your head and you got to move on. But the way the game goes is, okay, you get a chance to go back in an NFL or an NBA game. Once your turn comes up in gymnastics, that's it. You know, you can't do it. Look, I'm not ready to go back out there and do it. Now, they're different sports, but the philosophy is the same of, if there's an athlete who's not mentally in it, you got to take them out. And it was good that she did it herself. It was good the coaches were okay with it. They made the decision very quickly. All right, right. The one gymnast who said, I can't do it, she went and got her grips, put them on, I'm ready to go. Ready to go and go out and go out and do this.
Well,
so
next
for
man
that
up.
Part of it, that's not the shocking part. Now, there's other shocking parts to it, but that's not the shocking one. This is just how it works. And I'm sorry, Devin Booker, we keep using you, but that you're the big example of sports the past couple weeks of guys controlling your emotions, being able to perform on the court.
Yeah, we can go and find plenty of other examples as the night goes on. But in the end, next woman up, and they finish with the silver medal. So much more to unpack on this, but off the outset, just folks, calm down a little bit. You know, find a deep breath and relax. It's going to be okay.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. We'll have more on the Olympics and more on Simone Biles. In fact, coming up next, why Simone Biles is going to wind up being the biggest challenge of my career and a lot of people's careers as a sports talk radio host. And we'll explain exactly why that's going to be the case coming up next right here. Jason and Mike, this is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Zoe and I listened to this song the other day because she's getting big into Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie, and we've been watching a lot of it, and she digged like the last 45 minutes, which of course is the big performance. And, this song is great. She goes, what do all those words mean? I go, oh, they're just saying things like, ba-ba-ba-ba-bum, dee-ba-ba-ba-bum. She goes, they are? I go, yeah. It's like, okay, ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-bum. She goes, no, they're not. They're saying, I go, no, they're not. That's what they're doing. They're doing ba-ba-ba-ba-bum. She just is like, I don't understand how that's a song. I go, hey, that's kind of what they decided to do. What we do is, instead of lyrics, how about I just go, yeah, ba 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 ba. Okay. Yep, great. Let's do it. Let's record it. And it turns out to be a great song.
Yeah, here's your filler. We have it all the time. The da-da-da. I mean, going back to the Beatles. I mean, it's always been there. I'm a little nervous if you're watching Bohemian Rhapsody with great regularity. Seems like you could just buy a couple of CDs and be done with it, but that's a whole other
like seeing the performance and how it was shot for shot, like what they did at Live Aid. I mean, that was amazing.
Then pull up the YouTube and watch the other.
We like watching the movie. It's
shot
better.
Or cough up a buck, you cheap son of a...
It's a better television experience. It's a better TV experience.
How about the actual performance, man?
We listen to the songs. Don't tell me what I want to enjoy and can't enjoy. I want to enjoy watching a television.
I'm trying to enhance your life. That's what I've been doing here for you and all of America. Lo, these many nights here on Fox Sports Radio and Sunday mornings and whenever someone else says, hey, you feel like coming in and yelling at us. I do it, and I do it for you. And I'm trying to help make your life better here in this moment, Smith.
There's no problem with us watching Bohemian Rhapsody and just queuing it up and getting it off a streaming service and watching it. Hey, here's the scene again. Okay, great. I mean, I don't understand. We're enjoying the song.
Remy.
Enjoying everything else.
Freddie Remy.
you know what we need to see? Oh, we need to watch on really bad video with really bad sound quality. And, okay. Yeah, no, I'll watch it with great sound quality because it's shot like, because it's a movie and it looks great and it looks awesome. That's the best part of it. Ba-ba-ba-ba-bum.
You and okay. your replicas. Give me the original.
Chipping around with my brains on the floor. So Simone Biles is going to be the biggest challenge of the rest of my radio career and for a lot of people. And I don't know that they quite understand why. After she withdrew earlier today from the team event in the Olympics, and the United States went on to win the silver medal, and she withdraws because mentally she wasn't there, and she cited mental health. It was been a tough week for her. You heard the sound bites a few minutes ago. This is on the heels of Naomi Osaka, who late last night lost, left the arena, wasn't going to go talk to anybody after her event was over. Meanwhile, she talked after she won earlier, but then she loses. She walked away and then somehow was convinced to go back, maybe because someone said, hey, we made you the shining star of these Olympics, and you're supposed to go talk after you lose. Go do it, because not talking isn't going to help your cause. And she goes and she talks and she comes back and makes a good decision. The biggest challenge of my career, I can tell, is ahead of me, seeing these two stories back to back. And the biggest challenge is understanding the Generation Z athlete. Because you and I grew up, and many fans grew up, watching sports and thinking of athletes very differently. All they want to do is win, right? I want to win. I want to see my players win. All these guys want to do is win. Look, it's why we drift and we're drawn into guys like Kobe and Tom Brady and LeBron James, because the guys are all about winning, because it's what they want. They want to go win. Michael Jordan wants to win. I want to put my foot on your neck. It's not that I want to win. It's I don't want you to have it. And I hate losing more than I like winning. And there's a difference, Pete. You know, all of these things. But the Generation Z athlete, you look at the athletes in their mid, the big superstars like Naomi Osaka, like Simone Biles. You heard Simone Biles talking after she talked about withdrawing, and it was very nonchalant of, you know, it was a tough week, and here the Olympics is no joke, and it's she's so matter-of-factly talking about, yeah, I just walked away from the biggest event of my life, and now it's going to be a really big story, but you know what? I wasn't feeling it mentally. It is such a foreign thought to me, and it's a foreign thought to a lot of people, because they grew up differently. And it's hard to look at an athlete who is in their early 20s, who's such a great big star, that can say, you know what, if I'm not feeling it, if it gets too tough, I'm going to shut it down. Wait, you're shutting it down? This is the Olympics. Yeah, no, I wasn't feeling it. I'm shutting it down. And judging by the reaction, which is not so much, which you would expect years ago, it would be 90% of the reaction would be Simone Biles is terrible, and she's got to be thrown off the team. You know, the big meathead, you know, hey, here's something I'm going to say without 2 seconds of thought. She's the worst. She's got to go. She's got to do all these things, right? That, like, 90%.
You probably heard that today anyway. What are you talking about?
Yeah, 90% would have been that. But you see, the reaction today is it's kind of split. It's, hey, she has issues. She's got mental issues that she needs to work through. And obviously, she does, because she stopped competing in the middle of the Olympics. But it's not where it would have been years ago, where, hey, the vast majority of people would have said, I can't believe this. You're the worst. You're not the GOAT anymore. All of these things. No, now you see it split, which tells you how people are now growing up and how they are viewing sports through a different lens than you and I do. I just turned 50. You're in your late 40s. You know, many, many sports talk radio hosts, and people who do this for a living, are a little bit older. Why? Because you need life experiences to be able to talk about life experiences on the radio and TV. That's why 25-year-olds don't jump in and suddenly become content people. You can jump in and be 25 years old and be a sideline reporter or a host of a show or something, because, hey, you're talking, you're directing the conversation. But when you're a content person and you're bringing up content, you need life experiences. And so now you have most of the hosts, like you and me and a lot of other people, are all at least in their 40s or 50s, and there's, you know, popular guys that are going to be 60 soon and more. They can't really identify with what it means to be a 25-year-old athlete who has grown up entirely with social media, who has grown up with an attitude of, hey, listen, try to be the best, and if you don't, well, it's okay. And if you don't feel like competing, you don't have to compete. It is a completely different landscape now for stars that are in their mid-20s. Like, we all want to blame, oh, millennials are this, millennials are this. Listen, we have fun talking. Look, millennials are 40 now, okay? So it's not like millennials, obviously. Millennials are 40, all right? That's how millennials. The Generation Z athlete that has come up this way is a lot different. The athletes that say, hey, I'm okay taking the accolades, but if something gets too tough, yeah, why am I going to fight through that? Wait a minute. You're supposed to fight. No, it's too tough. I'm going to back off. Look, I'm from the sports is supposed to be hard camp. If it was easy, everyone would do it, right? You play hurt, and that's something that people can't understand. Everybody plays hurt. Why did Kerry Strug trend so much on Twitter today? Because she's the shining example of when you play hurt, this is how you do it, right? That's a different era in sports now. For the stars who are coming up now, this is how they approach sports. They approach sports wanting to be successful. They want to win, but if I don't win all the time, that kind of happens. I want to have a great life. I want to be an influencer. I want to do a lot of different things. That is way different than the athletes we have watched over the course of the past few years. And now that you're seeing this next generation, the Generation Z athlete, come up this way, it's hard to identify with them. That's why this is going to be such a huge challenge. And now, look, we're going to be talking about athletes that are half our age, that have different life experiences, not as much as we have, but they're different and they're wider and more vast. Trying to identify with that as we explain why they act certain ways and do certain things, why Naomi Osaka doesn't want to talk to the press even though she's just got to answer a few easy questions, why Simone Biles stops competing in the middle of the event and can kind of explain it away very easily after, that is a huge, huge challenge to try to understand that, because we understood athletes for the most part. They want to win, they want to make money. Okay, great, right? Oh, this guy wants to win, that's why we like him. This guy just wants to make money, that's why we don't like him, right? As soon as he signed that big contract, he stopped playing, whether it's Dez Bryant or anybody else. Now this is an athlete that I want to win, I want to do these things, but if it's too tough, if I don't want to do something, I don't want to do it. That's a really hard thing that I'm going to have to do in a lot of people to identify with them as we continue to talk and provide content throughout the time.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, you know, having a bunch of younger folks in your life. And let's face it, it's not even being that much younger than us, because the whole idea of load management has been enough to blow gaskets for people. And have them stop and have to recalibrate where they are in their lives, right? Just the fact that a guy would take a second day of a back-to-back off, and even if the fans of town, any town USA, where he was only coming once for the year, we're now going to not get to see him. For some folks, that's the most egregious thing you could possibly do. So I don't even know what they do with this stuff. And mental health, you know, everybody I think is still trying to wrap their arms around how it applies to sports and context and in our own lives. I mean, everybody's got relationships, jobs, whatever else, where, you know, there's probably need to take a pause, and maybe you don't, and maybe you hit a breaking point. Maybe, you know, you all look at different pieces of maybe that cost you the promotion you were looking for, the relationship you thought was good, where everything was full throttle and you needed to back off a bit. You know, it's the same thing in sports, where you have load management, the ability to maybe take your fine if you don't want to do a press obligation. Stepping out here and recognizing that, you know, trying to weigh the positives and negatives, and maybe you take so much incoming off social media on a day-to-day basis, you're numb to a lot of the other stuff, at least on the surface, but then it rears its head at the worst of times. You know, I can only go to, you know, you're coaching your daughter's, you know, softball, soccer, and I watch as my daughter, she's 13 now, and the players, right? You can get 5 minutes into a game and know who's already been, you know, beaten once to the ball or something's going on. It's like, all right, she's going to have a rough day. Right. You know that as a coach. I know that just watching, you know, my daughter's squad. Right. You can see the body language pretty fast. Or my older daughter. She had a lot of struggles in this COVID year with her academics. Normally bouncy, bubbly, singing all over the place. This year, not so much. Right. Because stuff suddenly got hard. And that's the other part of it. Right. You're used to winning and dominating at all these levels. And that's a very real thing, I think, as part of this that we have to be conscious of. If you're going out and you're a basketball player and you're putting down 30 and 20 dominating your AAU teams, and then suddenly you go onto the floor and you get smacked around a bit, it's going to be a hard adjustment, right? Likewise, you've done every routine flawless in your practices, workouts, and everything else, or you've won every tennis match, and now all of a sudden you're meeting people that are your equal, or on that day you're better, or you've got something, as Naomi Osaka does in terms of, you know, certain courts that she doesn't play well on. Those start to fester and they weigh on you, and it's something that you now have to navigate. So, you know, some of that is the change as well, is you're not always going to win. And I think competition, socialization, all of those things are great. And the sooner you learn to lose, the easier some of this stuff gets to be. Doesn't explain away all of it, but certainly it's part of this process.
Yeah, and look, the whole thing with Simone Biles, look, there's questions. This is what I mean. Like, it's hard for me to identify certain things she did. It's hard for me to identify with. How do you say I can't do it in a team event when, you know, the rest of your teammates are, they're not supporting cast members in the Simone Biles show. These are also girls given their entire life and their career for 2 weeks. You know, you hear it all the time in the Olympics. I trained for 12 years for 2 minutes. Right. And here's what it is. I mean, it's hard for me to say I think that's who she owes an apology to, you know, and instead of talking about them and saying, hey, they did a great job. It's hey, I am so sorry that I couldn't do it. I know I let you all down. I mean, that's what I would want to hear from Simone Biles.
But if I were a teammate, I'd be like, you know, that's why I'm here, to help pick you up.
Right.
Right. That's the whole idea of being on a team. Again,
exactly.
you don't train all those years to say, hey, it's Simone Biles and her band of merry women. You know, that's not the way it is. I'm a competitor and I'm an Olympian as well. So if my opportunity comes, whatever, just get out of the way. I'm in.
Yeah, and it's different. I'm sure the reaction of her teammates, who are all Generation Z athletes, who are like, "Hey, okay, yeah, I get it. You weren't feeling it. I'm ready to go." That's what I mean. It's hard because there's some things of this with Simone Biles I really get, and there's some I go, "Boy, I don't get." And a lot of that is because I approach sports differently, and you and I, certain age, you know, if you're men of a certain age or women of a certain age, you approach sports differently than other people do. And to see this, it's like, boy, okay, how do I wrap myself around the mind of a star, you know, Generation Z athlete who's 24, 25, 26 years old? It's a really difficult thing because of the way they've grown up and the things they have done just in the last 5 or 6 years that weren't available to anybody else over the course of the past 20 years before it. Like, look, the world's changed so much in the past 5 or 6 years, so much, a ton. You're talking about athletes who are going from being 16, 17 to 22, 23, and that's how it goes. I mean, this is going to be the biggest challenge, is how to identify and continue to talk and be insightful and incisive when it comes to an athlete that is, you know, I'm twice as old as they are now. And they've come up differently than I've. It's a huge, huge challenge. And you're going to see people who can do it and people who can't. Because people who are just going to come out and say and give you the meathead, meat and potatoes take on it, that's going to be people that get pushed to the side. Okay, great. Yes, I understand. Now, you need to be a little bit more insightful when it comes to it. That's just how it goes. But, I mean, this is the challenge of my career. Twitter, how about a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith here with Mike Harmon. Speaking of Major League Baseball, well, it's become clear there is one player that's going to be available that teams want more than any other as the trade deadline approaches. We'll tell you who it is and tell you where he's going to end up. How about that? It's coming up next right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo.
We got John Paul Morosi coming up in about a half hour as we are in advance of MLB trade deadline day coming up on Friday. But already we know what the big prize of the trade deadline is going to be, and that's going to wind up being Max Scherzer. He left his last or had his last start scratched because of a triceps injury. As long as he checks out okay, he will be dealt. And today we saw the teams that are going to form the top of his wish list. According to many reports, they are the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants, all three teams battling in the NL West. The Mets were in on it, but that was just ridiculous because there's no way the Nationals were going to trade him to the Mets. That's just stupid. And Scherzer actually, according to reports, doesn't want to go to the Mets. So I say the same thing that I said earlier in the spring. Oh, you don't want to go? That's okay. See you in the NLCS. All right? I'll see you there. See you there, Max Scherzer. We'll see you in the NLCS. That'll be fine. But if you're breaking down where he's going to end up, right, and these are the three teams, because he wants to go someplace where he can win, right, and clearly these are three incredible teams all in the same division, the Dodgers are going to wind up getting him. And it's not for any reason other than the Padres have already made a big move, and they've already made a lot of moves. And are they going to have the cachet to trade for Max Scherzer, who the Nationals are going to want a lot for him? Because look, the guy's 36 years old, multiple Cy Youngs. He's a great, great pitcher. Are the Padres going to have enough? No. Are the Giants going to have enough? Well, that's going to be difficult because the Giants right now are doing it with a bunch of guys who, you know, are in their 30s. It's like, wow, look at the seasons these guys are. Look at Brandon
Buster
Crawford.
Buster Posey returns.
Yeah. But the Dodgers, number one, they have the need because they're not going to have Trevor Bauer, who is not going to pitch for them ever again. They have the prospects because you hear Dodger and Yankee prospects, and suddenly every GM in Major League Baseball's eyes get all glittery like, I could get Dodger and Yankee prospects. They're going to be able to give up what they need because the Dodgers are so deep. They have 13 guys that could play every single day. Yes, they have injury issues right now, but they have what can be dealt. And if you want to talk about a team where you're going to be able to sustain winning, that's the Dodgers. The Giants are kind of smoke and mirrors. All right, the Padres clearly could be, but are you really think the Padres are going to stay a dynasty? I have more confidence that the Dodgers are going to be where you can sustain your winning if you're Scherzer, who is 36. If you're saying, okay, I got 2-3 more good years left, where are you most confident that you're going to be able to consistently win from the 2 or 3 years? The Dodgers, the Padres, or the Giants? The answer is the Dodgers. They have the most. It's where he's going to end up.
Well, they also have the most need and the most assets, not just in terms of bank accounts to take on any contracts and any future considerations, but also when we talk about prospects, do they ever want to get rid of them? No. We know that's the case, right? How many moves have they made the last few years without having to acquiesce and give up those top prospects? It's really a work of genius. But this year, the emphasis is on starting pitching, right? Trevor Bauer's not coming back. You don't know what Clayton Kershaw is going to be for the remainder of this season. You've already lost Dustin May. You need Julio Urias, who's been fantastic, but he's a guy that starts to shift back towards bullpen responsibilities. And as we watch with bated breath every appearance from Kenley Jansen. So, yeah, I would say we always have our guys, right? All the friends that we work with, Jason, and work on the show and around the building. Everything's a hashtag future Laker or hashtag future Dodger. I think they're getting this one right.
Really, it's going to be an incredible fight for this, and you're going to see the Dodgers have to give up a lot because, hey, Scherzer's someone that everybody wants. Not like, well, one team is it. No, Scherzer's a guy many people. There's eight teams that would give up anything
for him. Yeah, and all those teams that still don't know whether they're contenders or not. Maybe they still buy, right? Seattle is still a buyer, according to some.
But in the end, for a guy like Scherzer, the Dodgers are going to win that bidding war. It's going to happen. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, a huge story out of the NFL. This is Fox Sports Radio.